Hi, my name is Tony Babayer. I am 17 years old. Today is April 16, 2024. I'm speaking with my mom's Alderma Babbold, who is my mom. We're recording in our home.
Hi, my name is Alderma Babbold. I'm 46 years old. Today is April 16th, 2024. I'm talking with Anthony Babbayer, who is my son. We are recording this in my home.
Before the Democratic Revolution in 1990, Mongolia was run by a socialist government. This meant the government controlled most parts of life, like jobs and businesses. But this system often caused problems for people, like shortages of goods and limited freedom. Can you tell me about the establishment of the Mongolian People's Republic in 1924 and how it impacted Mongolia's political and economic landscape?
Okay, it's my grandparents' era, so what I heard is that their livestock and private property, they all, the government take all of them and put back as a government property, give back to them government property. So livestock used to be private, and they make it, you know, increase and use for their own good. But after socialist 1924, all properties for government, like especially livestock, right? So because most Mongolians are nomads and then they have their own livestock, but now it's property of government. Sorry if I repeat a lot. So it's completely different. People work for government. But the good part is government help when it's very cold weather, that difficult to survive the livestock, they give extra support for the people. So that's the difference. And of course, people don't want to get rid of their private property, especially rich people. That's what I heard. Yeah, that's a lot of complication between government and rich people at the time. And also people, the Mongolian population is so low, so they want to increase it. So if you if women become pregnant, they have to have birth and you can't control it. So at that time, a lot of people have like at least 4 or 5 kids, you know, each family. So of course, if kids, a lot of kids, big family, the economy is not good. That's what I heard. Yeah, that's all.
Could you remember a moment when it was like to live in a socialist country?
Yeah, when I was a child, I was in socialist system. So like everybody has similar salary, but if you are highly educated, it's 800 tugrik to 1,000 tugrik.
Tugrik is
Mongolian money. Mongolian money. At that time, $1 is 4 tugrik. Yeah, that's the... and what else? Yeah, so kind of peaceful. And kids can play, go out alone, is fine. Nobody gonna steal kids or that kind of things. It's so peaceful and nice. But what is limited is you can't bad mouth about government and government leaders. Yeah. And in the people, there's the unknown spies that if you talk about bad about government, then it will be, you know, heard by government some way. So that's very limited. But then when I was small kid, so I don't have to talk about it. I don't even know. So for us, as a childhood is a good memory. But the food product industry, we are like, most kids have similar fashion, similar shoes, you know, because not much, a lot of choices. But our country produce the products. So, so mainly that's what I remember. And you can't say anything or what it's called. I can't say. Okay, in school, what teachers say, that's the rule. You can't judge teacher's behavior or any adult's behavior because we are just a child. So, like, in socialist system, if boss or leader, government officer say something, that's like rule. Like, you can't judge, you can't say your opinion. Just listen and do it kind of way, even in the school. Yeah, that's maybe a little different than nowadays. Yeah.
Moving on. Under socialism, Mongolia had a centrally planned economy. This meant the government decided what should be produced and how resources were used. People didn't have much say in their jobs or what they could buy. How did the democratic revolution in Mongolia in 1990 change the country's government and society?
Okay, so 1990, I remember I was like a teenager, and all of a sudden, like, there's a big gathering in the outside of government building, and then talking, judging government's bad decision and how they affect us, why we are poor, or like all those things they sang when I was small. And I remember I go with my mom and listening, and my mom is like, oh my gosh, they judging the government, how they gonna survive, it's so dangerous, like, but still people wanna hear it because that kind of parts, we are so limited, we can't talk about our opinion and that kind of stuff. So that was like bravery for us. Like, we are like so new for us. So we are like just listening. And then soon, like, Mongolian government transferred to that young party that created young people who is like just university teachers, young people, like 20 something year old young people. Took the government and then changed to democracy, they talking, and Mongolian economy will be getting better and all those stuff. But and on the socialist system, we are very dependent on Russian, Soviet Union. But Soviet Union has their own also democracy transferring happening, so our economy so bad. And after transition, I remember we have six people in her family, and then just two bread every day, like, and then we no more than two bread, and you can't have anything to buy from the store. Store is nothing there. Only I see salt, oil, and no bread, no nothing. Everything, like, you have to give ticket and take two bread, but also pay. Like, that kind of situation. Like, at least 1 year happened. So I have to divide, like, little butter to 30 days. And then each day I have, like, little butter. And for six people. And two bread is nothing for my three brothers. It's like gone a day. So everything we measuring, like each day, like what, like one piece of butter, like all those stuff. So, and after a year, people bring products from China. So it's getting better. Yeah. But I at the time I was a teenager, so I don't exactly remember like all economy stuff. But all I remember is we not no more Russian dependent, so we have to earn our economy development ourselves. I guess it's like World Bank or a lot of contribution from other countries. Yeah, helped us to transfer to democracy. I think, yeah.
Speaking about the relying on the Soviet Union,
mm-hmm.
when Mongolia became the Mongolian People Republic in 1924, the Soviet Union helped a lot. They supported Mongolia's socialist government and influenced its policies. The Soviet Union also had a big say in Mongolians' relationships with other countries.
Mm-hmm.
Other countries. What were the consequences of the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991 on Mongolia, and how did it affect its economic stability and foreign relations? Foreign relations is like relationships with other countries.
Oh,
under
yeah.
Soviet.
Yeah. Under Soviet Union, we if we go abroad, Mongolian people go abroad, we only go socialist countries. You can't go America. If you are like, if government permit, give you permission, then maybe, but it's very rare. And then after 1990, we can go anywhere. Like China, not China. Yeah, we can't even much go China, but yeah, China, we can go no visa, Russia, no visa. Like first, Mongolians can go America, yeah, or other any European countries. So it's like more options and we can explore around the world, more choices. Yeah, that was so good. And yeah, after transition, it was, I just told before, the food and everything is so, like we have so limited. And there's nothing in the store. Yeah. So, but they open choices. We can go anywhere. Then people go China and bring a lot of products. They go to Russia. They bring a lot of products. So marketing. Yeah, markets. Yeah. They said market economy or something. They called it. And then we have like food products, a lot of choices compared to socialist system.
In the 1990s, Mongolia moved from socialism to a market economy.
Mm-hmm.
This meant people could start businesses and trade freely. It brought new opportunities, but also challenges like unemployment and inflation. Could you describe the economic reforms in Mongolia during the 1990s and how they transitioned from the country from socialism to a market-based economy?
Yeah, at the time, the market-based economy, we transferring the livestock become private property. Like government give back to the people the livestocks, so they can own livestock and then take care of own life. Like it was olden time, it's opposite, right? The Soviet and the socialist system. And we live, like I'm a city girl, I live in the city and we renting our apartment. But after socialist system, we buy, they just give us for free because 20 years we paying for government the kind of rent money, but now it's our own property. So we can sell it, yeah, we can buy new apartment. Like oftentimes one family, only one apartment, that's it. No renting, nothing. Only government take money, but not anymore. So a lot of property is private, becoming private. If it's a manufacturer, then they create some kind of stocks. But imagine at that time, we have no idea what is stocks. but somehow they like red stocks, you know, yellow stocks, name it. And then if you have a lot of stocks buying from other people, then you can have that manufacturer yourself, like private manufacturer. Like that kind of thing happened, but we have no idea what is stocks doing, why government give us like stocks. And so people, no idea. So they just give their family members like for free their stocks. Or some of them just sell it like for food, right? And whoever like know what is stock mean, they collect the stock and they privatize the manufacturers. But most of the manufacturers from socialist system, unfortunately, not professional people took the manufacture. That's why they don't know how to make it work. Like management level, professional level, they don't know how to make it work. So most of them like iron waste goes to China, all those tools, you know? Yeah, a lot of socialist system manufacturers destroyed at that time. And people just bring products from outside government, outside of the country. Yeah, I remember my father used to work in cleaning gold manufacturer, and he was the general engineer, and he created that manufacturer because as a general engineer and work with Russian professional people. And then he was crying because his created manufacturer is destroyed and make the machines just the iron waste, you know? And then he was crying, but at the time he was retiring too. Yeah, I remember he was crying, oh my gosh, all my 20-year job is destroyed just one time.
The Asian financial crisis in 1997 affected Mongolia too. Even though it wasn't directly a hit, it suffered because it relied on trade and investments. The crisis caused problems like lower incomes and less stable money. How did the Asian financial crisis of 1997 affect Mongolia despite it being geographically distant from the epic center of the crisis?
Okay, so at that time I was 19 year old, so I don't like know all the details, but I like in generally what I know is there's always struggle in economy, and Mongolian government choose to create the mining sectors more developed, so more mining sectors I think created for gold, copper, all those, you know, natural resources. And also, so at that time, that's all I remember. Yeah, all of a sudden, like mining sectors getting developed and a lot of investment from outside, like especially Japan investors, they come to Mongolia and a lot of investment happening at that time. And that's, I think, remember. Yeah, I guess that's how we survive. Yeah, and our economy very dependent on how the gold and copper prices up and down in the stock market. Yeah, it's our economy very dependent on mining sectors right now, and at that time maybe creating that development, creating, establishing moments, I think. Yeah.
In the 2000s, many people from different countries moved to the United States. This made America more diverse and brought new cultures, but also caused debates on how immigrants fit into society. What was the significance of the fourth wave of immigration to the United States in the 2000s, especially for Mongolian citizens considering economic struggles in their own country?
Okay, so after 1990, we watch Hollywood movies. We can watch any movies. So Hollywood movie and all those shows, it's like super new for us. Like we are like constantly watching all the Hollywood movies, catch up, what's world going on, you know? And I think starting from that moment, people want to see America. It's a freedom, like, country, like all those dreamy imagination. So I think first immigrants want to see what's it's like. Also, you know, $1 is how many Tugriks, I think, 1,000 Tugriks or something. So maybe there's some more opportunity in America, like first immigrants. I think like at that time, the first immigrant people want to learn English, want to see how Hollywood, you know, all about to know, to see kind of where it came. Maybe second ones, like for me, I want to learn English because we learning computer science, and then without English, there's no way I understand computer science more professional way. So I feel like I should learn English in America, and because Microsoft, every good software program companies in America, so I want to, you know, all those dreamy thinking that I can see it, I can learn English, and I more professional in English, then I can learn computer science, like all those plans I have. Yeah, and that's how we came. Some people just earn money to transfer to their family, have their own home, like apartment, to take care of their family and have own business. So all those money motivated, they can come, some of them for education. For me, it's more like education and learn English, because everything we have to deal with, we need language barriers, like any business, any opportunity, like requires English. Yeah, that's how I think immigrants more to America came in, then that's how I think. So when I came to America, the first thing is like a lot of cultural difference, communication, how people so strict. I don't know, it's so different, very different. So that was like big wow moments, like learning English, you have to learn American English mindset, you know, but our mindset is very socialist kind, so different. So that's why first we to just not learn English, we have to understand the American mindset, and then what they implying when they talk, you know. Just word you understand doesn't mean anything. You don't understand what they're implying. Is a lot of cultural shock to understand. Learning English is not just learning English. It's culture, it's mindset, and that kind of obstacles, I think. Yeah. If you have like same mindset, same country is not socialist, right? Like same democracy, all those stuff happen. Maybe I just learn English, right? But because we used to be in Soviet, not Soviet, like socialist system, our mindset is so different. Our communication, a lot of things, just not language. It's just the mindset. This is all the economy. Everything is so different. So we have to learn that first. And then language, I understand, and a lot of things, you know? Yeah. Like when, yeah, a lot of things. Let me think what's like most important. Like maybe the tall buildings even new for us, you know? We have the most tallest building was like 12 story. Yeah. And then in here we like 40 story tall building is also wow, like that kind of new what is that, new things for us. Yeah. So just learning language is not that easy. Yeah.
With the fourth wave of immigration, 9/11 was soon after. After the 9/11 attacks, people became more suspicious of immigrants, especially from certain regions. It became harder for immigrants to come to the United States as they faced more security and insecurity. How did the 9/11 attacks impact immigration policies and the immigrant experience in the United States?
Okay, so before 9/11, I was young, so I have no much information or news. So after 9/11, I came to America. So what I heard from our family members and some of them here who is other Mongolians, they told me that like print fingers, they didn't take before, but after 9/11, if you come to America, they take all fingerprints. Yeah, that kind of strict rules. And maybe visa has more checking when you want to apply visa, American visa, they check more background and everything. That's what I heard. And because I came here as a student, yeah, I guess they check my background and everything. Before it was less checking, more give you opportunity. Taking visa is easier, but not at that time when I'm applying visa, it was not that easy. You have to prove a lot of things and backgrounds, check and everything. Yeah, on the board, they take my fingerprints, like, yeah, that kind of things I remember. Yeah, maybe a lot of things happened, but at that time I was so young, just want to learn English. That's all my main goal. Yeah, so maybe a lot of happened, but that's how I felt. A lot of background check and very limited visa they gave us. Yeah.
After the 9/11 attacks, people became more suspicious of immigrants. The war on terror started after 9/11. It had big effects globally. It led to wars and raised questions about rights and safety. It also made people feel angry towards the United States and increased terrorism worries. Can you explain the implications of the war on terror initiated after the 9/11 attacks, particularly in relation to military interventions and counterterrorism measures?
Okay, so after socialist system, we have no idea what a terrorist mean, you know. All those new things come out and we have to, oh, that happens, wow, like it's a lot of wows happening. And what I remember is Mongolian soldiers goes to Iran and Iraq, I think, I don't know, it's like American ally kind of government helping that kind of stuff happening. So I don't know how to say it, but definitely Mongolian soldiers go to the war and then it's a big news and then they were successfully fighters and then come back, that kind of news in the newspapers. Yeah, so we are like, what is terrorist? That kind of new words for us in the news media. Yeah, so like a lot of things we have to learn as a new. Yeah, that's all I remember.
What were the motivations behind the fifth wave of immigration, particularly for Mongolians seeking opportunities in the United States?
Yeah, so for me, it's more like education. I told before that to like computer science. So computer science, we have no books. I want to learn, it's all in English. In Mongolian, we don't have any books. Computer science, no books. I think any field, any science field, We have only Russian translated some books, but in education we have a lot of books need. But when I become a student, when I wanna learn computer science, there's no book. If I have a book, it's like English translated Russian book or English book. And even book is so difficult to find. You can't find from library. Well, some booksellers bring from America, from Russia. So that's a way, you know, you want to be a professional computer scientist or engineer. And then if you have no book and your teacher is translating before they teach. So, of course, the English is new language. Our second language used to be Russian. So we can use Russian books, but now it's become different. We have to use English book. So a lot of people, especially in education and any field, we have to learn English. There is no much even English book if you want to learn English. I use Russian book to learn English when I was in Mongolia. And that's why if you see nowadays Mongolians, they have a lot of accent because we don't have a pronunciation book or pronunciation recording to teach, right? All those things is not much we have. So I think a lot of people want to learn English. So America is the opportunity. Some people just want to, you know, that salary difference, economy difference. They want to work and enough money they can create own business in Mongolia, like that kind of motivation they have. Some of them are for education reason. Yeah, mostly that. Yeah, so... And as I said before, like when I came to America, learning English is not just learning English, right? It's mindset, it's cultural difference, it's a lot of things. We a lot of obstacles we have. And you don't know English, and then you have to feed yourself in America. So you have to find a job because just tuition is so big thing for my parents, right? So you have to earn your tuition yourself. So to earn, you have to work. To have to work, you have to understand people, like all those struggles. I'm definitely a lot of Mongolian immigrants challenged by that. And yeah, and that's a lot of Mongolians work in dry cleaner, pizza delivery, like less in English, more job kind of, they starting that. But nowadays they have their own restaurant, their own salon, like it's getting better and better. And next immigrants, it's easier because now it's more books, more opportunities happen. But at the time when I was coming to America, it was so different. Yeah.
Lastly, could you share your personal experience of living as an immigrant in the United States of America, including the challenges your family faced and the opportunities they created for themselves?
Mm-hmm. So, and my personal experience, like, what I realize is because we are in the socialist system, we don't have psychology knowledge. So there's nothing to read about. Well, they do maybe, but I don't know how to communicate, how to express your emotion. Like, I'm like so naturally express my emotion. If I'm angry, I'm just angry. I shout, right? If I want to tell, I just tell without thinking. That's how we just naturally, how we developed. So there's no communication rules, or maybe like if you were, at that time I was young, but if after if you work long enough, maybe I like naturally learned that, but the book teaching There's no psychology books, classs we have. So I was in university in Mongolia. I graduated there, but there's no communication classes, have to socially communicate or that kind of classes. Like, there's no psychology, nothing. So when I came to America, the social system, whatever teacher tell you, you believe it. Whatever parents tell you who you have to become, you learn, listen them, and then you become them. So my mom's dream was she want to be a scientist because she really want to research and everything. But unfortunately, she has 4 kids. There's no way she can research stuff and become scientist. So it's her dream, not mine. But somehow she pushed her dream to me. So I just like unconsciously thinks I have to be like some, you know, teacher or scientist or something, office work or something, like independent woman kind of thing. Kind of my mom brainwashed, but I don't know. You know, I just listen to my mom. I just think I have to do that. And then when I came to America, they like, what do you want? What do you want to do? What's your dream? Like those kind of questions make me wondering, what are you talking about? Why I have to dream? Or like, it's just my mom said, so I have to do it. What are you talking about? Like, I have no idea. Like, you have to do your own choices. Like, and this kind of thing is a big thing. And then I remember my ESL teacher, English teachers told me, you really want to be a scientist? And she asked me 3 times, and somehow I cried. Is it really you want to do it? Do you really want to do it to become a scientist? Do you really want to study a master's degree? Do you really want to do it? Is it your dream? And then first I'd say, oh, yes, of course, why are you asking? Oh, yeah, of course. And then when it's second time, third time she's asking, I was cried. What I realized is it's not my dream. The funny thing is that teacher was a psychologist and she did something to me, and I don't know how it happened. I cried, and I cried that it was not my dream. It was my mom told me to do it. Yeah. That was like big wow moment. So after that, I study a lot. And also, there's another thing. I express my anger just shouting, just throwing away stuff. And then I was like told one of the American people, I think it's your teacher. Like your son is, when he's angry, he's shouting and throwing stuff. And I was like, how other way express anger? I don't know. We just know that way. And she was surprised looking at me and then say, what do you mean you are properly express your anger? You have to say, I'm angry. You make me angry. You don't have to shout or throw stuff. And that makes me like, what? You know, you have to control your emotions. You not just naturally shows everything. It was a lot of psychological knowledge that we need. So I read a lot of books about psychology. I watch a lot of psychology show. And then I learn a lot of things. Okay, I have to control my emotion. I have to express my anger properly. That kind of thing is so new. Then I wish I want to teach all those stuff to Mongolian people still who lives in there, expressing their anger just naturally, shouting. Yeah, it's a big wow moment for me personally. Yes.
And that wraps up our interview. I'm Tony, and if there's anything else you wanted to say, you can say now.
Okay, so all those personal experience, there's a good culture to take from America. There's a lot of culture take from Mongolia. But there's one thing is I want to tell is before socialist system, we have their own culture, and a lot of that I said no psychological knowledge is not because we don't have it. We have it, but in after socialist system, we can't read our old history, old books, because our letter alphabet is become Russian alphabet, and we can't read old alphabet, old Mongolian writing. So all those books was useless because we can't read it. Because we learn Russian alphabet, all books only socialist control books, controlled and take it out books. So a lot of books we can't read from olden times because of alphabet change. So that's why we a lot of our very good culture, very a lot of psychological and religious disciplining, you know, knowledge is we can't have it because of the alphabet change. Yeah, that's why we are so kind of wild. Only we have socialist system discipline, which is only ordering. They don't hear your opinion. So to fix it, right? Because we have it, but we just can't read it. Old books. Yeah. Russian changed our alphabet. That's what I want to add. And yeah, so that now we are translating all old books to new alphabet. So a lot of religious or a lot of knowledge transferring to from old books, which is we're learning more our culture, more deepens, and then I understand, wow, there's a lot of knowledge that we just left behind because of the alphabet change. Yeah, that's big thing happened to us. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Mom. Thank you for this interview.
You're welcome.
That's all for today.